We are going to get started in Perek Kaf Dalet. Just to summarize what we saw in Perek Kaf Gimel, this is our last Perek before Sunday. Sunday we're going to make a Siyum Mirat Hashem. Perek Kaf Gimel. Perek Kaf Gimel ends off. So we had Yoshio, which tried to change direction, and really in every area of life he seemed to be doing all the right things, got rid of all the mizbachos, got rid of all the bamos. The descriptions of what Yoshio does is absolutely amazing. And at the same time, he wasn't able to change where the nation was at, right? We spoke about the midrash that says that every single time that the Shomrim would come in to take away the Avodah Zarah, what would the people do? They'd hang it on their doors. So when the Shomrim came in, the doors hid the Avodah Zarah. So there was clearly a gap in between what Yoshio wanted and where Am Yisrael was at, and that definitely had to do with the last 70 years of Menashe and of Amon and the Avodah Zarah, which was pretty much everywhere in Yehuda. Okay, so we see at the end of Perek Kaf Gimel that things start to change. We spoke about the Krav by Karkamish. Spoke about how Yoshio is killed in this war, that Parnacho comes up from Mitzrayim to go and help out Ashur, to help out Assyria, stifle the Babylonians' rise to power. He stops through, he's passing through Megiddo, which is in the north of Israel. Yoshio comes out and says, "You can't pass, you shall not pass." And Ayin Sham, okay? Whoever got that is Yishtabach Shimcha. Okay? He said, "You shall not pass," and Parnacho had different ideas, and Yoshio was killed. We know that Yirmiyo had a kinna about Yoshio, and we spoke about how that might be a kinna that we see one of the Prak and Perek Dalet in Eicha. Now, so what happens? Yehoahaz is one of the children. Okay, so let's just do this real quick. So you guys just understand what's going on. So we have Yoshio. Okay, Yoshio is the father. We have Yoshio. Okay, Yoshio is the father. And now Yehoahaz, which isn't the firstborn son, okay, he becomes king. The Amaretz put him up as king, even though that he has an older brother. What happens to Yehoahaz? When Parnacho comes down from this war, it's not so clear historically what happened, but Parnacho comes down 3 months, maybe to go back and to regather his army, v'chulu. He sees that Yehoahaz is the king over there. He takes him away, brings him down to Mitzrayim, and he dies there. And instead of Yehoahaz, he appoints his brother. Okay? That's where we see Vayamlech Paronacho es Eliakim ben Yoshio. So his name was Eliakim, Yoshio's other son. So we have Yehoahaz. What happened to Yehoahaz? Yehoahaz is king for 3 months, Shalosh Chodashim, and Paro takes him down to Mitzrayim. Okay? Then we have Eliakim. Eliakim, what happens to Eliakim? First of all, Eliakim is appointed by Paronacho. Okay? When he appoints someone, he's showing that you're Meshubad to me. How does he show that Shibud? He changes his name from Eliakim to what? Yehoyakim. Okay? Yehoyakim. Okay? Yeah, exactly. Shame you came. Okay, that's this week's parsha. Okay? So he takes Eliakim and he shows who's really in charge. Okay. So Yoyakim is king for 11 years. Okay? Yoyakim is king for 11 years. Vayasa rabbeinu Adonai k'chol asher asu avosav. And in these 11 years, it's not good. It's not good. He continues in the footsteps of Yoahaz that wasn't for such a long time. And we explain that possibly the reason that Yoahaz was taken away by Melech Mitzrayim was that he was pro-Babylonian. And so if he was pro-Babylonian, Mitzrayim wanted that Yehuda should be pro-Mitzri because
They're trying to stifle what's going on in Babel.
Okay, so Yoyakim becomes king. That's where we are. Perikof Dalet. Okay, that was a long hakdama, but it's okay. Ve'amav ala Nebuchadnezzar, melech Babel, vayhilo Yehoyakim eved shalosh shanim. So for the first three years of Yehoyakim's, I'll restate that. Nebuchadnezzar comes at some point throughout Yehoyakim's malchus, and clearly the national powers change. And we explained that part of what changed was, although Pyro comes down from that Krav al Karkamish, okay, really he loses that battle. He loses the battle by Karkamish, and Bavel essentially destroys all of Ashur, and now is able to take over essentially the entire world. And essentially the Babylonian border has now at this point totally taken over Yehuda and totally taken over Mitzrayim. So this Shalosh Shanim is not so clear as to when these Shalosh Shanim are. Vayasha Vayimrad Bo. But at some point, Yehoyakim rebels against Bavel. So there are a number of different suggestions as to why he rebels against him. After the Krav in Karkamish, after Bavel really takes over, there is one last rebellion that happens by the nations around Bavel. And so it's very possible that what's going on here is, like, meaning the Tanakh is not telling us why he rebelled against against Nebuchadnezzar, but he does. Now, what I want you guys to remember is this inyan of rebelling against Nebuchadnezzar. This is a theme that we're going to see a lot in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu states over and over and over again, don't rebel against Bavel. You should be Meshuba to Bavel. Don't rebel against them. Meaning, we're changing the tone. If the tone by the Nevi'im until this point was what? Not to give in and don't make peace. So Yirmiyahu is already at a point in which the Churban is imminent. And Bavel is going to be the head of that gullus. And therefore, put your head down, and maybe there'll be a Sherius HaPleta. But Yehoyakim, as we're going to see in Sefer Yirmiyahu, for these 11 years, terrorizes Yirmiyahu, makes his life terrible. And Yirmiyahu comes to him day after day, telling him that you have to just bend your head down, and this is where the Nevi'ei HaSheker come into it. And we'll see that Bezrat Hashem in Yirmiyahu. So what happens? He rebels against him, against what the Nevi'im are suggesting. Vayishlach Adonai bo eskdudei kastim, eskdudei aram, eskdudei moav, eskdudei bnei amon. Vayishalchem biyudah la'avido kedvar Adonai asher dibyer biyad avadav ha-Nevi'im. But what happens? Nebuchadnezzar doesn't come himself. He sends a group of militia from all these surrounding countries around Eretz Yisrael, right? We learned this summer, Eicha, in Megillas Eicha, one of the themes of Eicha is Eicha Yashva Badad. Right? Yerushalayim feels alone, not only alone from all of the Jews around Yerushalayim, there's no more Jews around, so the city is alone, but it's also alone in the sense that all of the nations around them, Kol Ra'eah Bagdu Ba Hayu La La'oivim. Right? Eicha explains that all of my friends, all of the people, all of the nations around me have turned on me. So what happens? Nebuchadnezzar is back in Bavel. He's dealing with this rebellion, right? By all the surrounding nations by Bavel. So he's not bringing his entire army to come and stifle a small rebellion here. So what does he do? He sends all of these small militias, Moab and Ammon and Aram, right? Achal pi Adonai haisabi Yehuda la'asir me'al panav b'chatos Menashe k'chol asher asa. And this was obviously because of the terrible sins of Menashe. V'gam dam hanaki asher shafach v'yimalei es Yerushalayim dam naki v'lo ava Adonai lisloach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not be solech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't have slicha in this situation because of all the terrible things that Menashe and that they're continuing to do. So first of all, it's not only because of Menashe. Menashe, to a certain extent, represented where the people were at. I think to a certain extent.
Why did Yisrael get so many chances? Like, Yisrael did it for like 400 years.
Right.
And like Yehuda had like this bad kufa, like bad nash.
Well, they had a bad kufa for a long, meaning there was always ups and downs, and they should have learned lekach, meaning they should have learned that gullus can happen, right? But they continue, even after the gullus of Aser HaShvatim, they continue to not listen to the Nevi'im. Okay. V'ezra divrei yo yakim v'chol asher asa ha'loim k'suvim asay for divrei ha'yam v'malchei Yehuda v'yishkav yo yakim v'mavosav v'imloch Yehoyachin b'no tachtav. Okay, so Yehoyachin dies. There's something missing over here that we see in Divrei Hayamim. In the end, Mamish, the last parak of Divrei Hayamim, there's a description over there that Nebuchadnezzar actually comes to Yerushalayim and takes Yehoyakim away. B'nechushtayim. He takes him away in chains. So essentially, it's not that he dies in Yerushalayim. He dies in Bavel. And this is the beginning. I would say, like, really the first step of Gullus, of the Gullus Yehuda, of the Gullus that we know, which is called Gullus Bavel. Although this is not the standard first step that we think about when we think about Gullus Yehuda, we think about generally the Gullus of the Charesh V'Amazger, which we're going to speak about in a second. This is really the first, at least according to Divrei Hayamim, Yehoyakim is taken to Bavel. So we have Eliakim, Yehoyakim, he's king for 11 years, and then Nilkach le Bavel. Okay, and he dies there. So now Yehoyakim has a son. His name is Yehoyachin. Okay? So remember, Yehoyachin is not the son of Yoshio, like the other brothers. Okay? Yehoyachin is the son of Yehoyakim. So he's a grandson of Yoachaz. Of Yoshio.
Is Yoachaz still
alive or is he dead? Yoachaz is dead in Mitzrayim. Okay? It could be that he died later on, meaning for our sense and purposes, he's dead. It's like Yitzchak, you know? Meaning like, yeah. Yitzchak is dead, but like at what point does he die? Okay. Tov. So we see over here in Pasuk Zion, take a look. This is the way that the Tanakh tells us that the international powers... You guys might be thinking to yourself, what is all this thing that the Rabbi Frisch is saying about, like, all these stupid things, international politics, powers, blah, blah, blah. No, take a look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'lohusif od melech Mitzrayim letzeis me'artzo, ki lakach melech bavel minachal Mitzrayim ad nahar pras, kol asher haisa melech Mitzrayim. Okay, so the reason why the whole rebellion happens, and the reason why that Bavel is now able to come to Yehuda is because Mitzrayim was stifled. Mitzrayim lost that war by Karkamish, right? And now they're helpless. So Yehoyachin is this young king now, which inherits like a bad lot, not an easy lot. Okay, your father was taken into Gullus. And now you're expected as this young king who's a vassal to Bavel. What is your relationship to Nebuchadnezzar going to be? Ben 18 shana Yehoyachin b'malcho u'shlosha chodashim malach. So, once again, bad lot, and only king for shlosha chodashim. Only king for 3 months. What happens after 3 months? U'shlosha chodashim malach b'yushalayim v'shem yimo nechushta Bas el Nasan Miyushalam. So he does bad, you know, whatever, however much bad you can do in 3 months. Be'esahi, alu avdei Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel Yushalayim v'tavo ha'ir b'matzor. This is the first siege of Yushalayim in the times of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't come, but the avadim of Nebuchadnezzar comes, meaning the army of Bavel is now coming to stifle the rebellion in Yehuda.
So this is Shavasar
B'Tammuz? No, it's not Shavasar B'Tammuz yet. No, Shavasar B'Tammuz is the last of the Matzorim. This is the first Matzor. Okay, we have a Matzor in the time, we have a siege in the times of Sancheirev, right? That was the story of Chizkiyahu and Sancheirev. This is the second siege that we're speaking about. And the siege that we celebrate on Asar B'Teves is the last. Okay, take a look. Yeah. Okay. Tov.
What's it gonna say?
before.
Yeah. Okay, so let's take a look. Vayavod Nebuchadnezzar melech Babel al ha'ir. Now Nebuchadnezzar shows up. So in the beginning, he just sent his henchmen. He sent his army. Nebuchadnezzar now comes. Hold on one second. Vayavod Nebuchadnezzar melech Babel al ha'ir. Vayavadav tsarim alav. They're about to break through the walls. Vayetze Yehoyachin melech Yehuda al melech Babel. Hu v'imo v'avadav v'sarav v'sarisav v'yikachos o melech Babel. B'shnas shmone l'malcho. Okay, shmone l'malcho. What is Shmona L'malcho? What are we speaking about here? Who's Malchus? The Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar, because Yoyachin's only king for 3 months. So it can't be speaking about the Malchus of Yoyachin of 3 months.
That was only before the Matzor.
No. What was before the Matzor?
I mean, it was 3 months when they started attacking. How do we know that it couldn't have been that they were attacking for like 7 years?
No. He was only king for 3 months. Okay, he reigned for 3 months. So what happens? Nebuchadnezzar comes, they surround the city, they're about to capture the city, and what happens? Yehoyachin gives himself up. Him and all of the higher echelon, the queen, everyone comes out, and they go into Galus. Vayotzei misham es kol otzros beis Adonai, va'otzros beis ha-melech, vayikatzitz es kol klei azav asher asa shlomo melech Yisrael beichal Adonai, kasher diber Adonai, whatever jewels and whatever thing was left in the Beis HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar took. Vehiglas kol Yerushalayim ves kol asarim ves kol gibrei achayil aseres alafim gola vechol hacherash vehamazger lo nishar zulas delas ha'am ha'aretz. So this is what we call the gullus of the charesh vehamazger. This isn't the gullus. This isn't the final gullus of the churban. This gullus happens 11 years before the churban. Okay, we still have another 11 years until the churban. What is the galus of the charesh v'amazger? So you guys are in yeshiva, so the Gemara tells us, right, that the galus of the charesh v'amazger is the Talmidei Chachamim. Who was in this? Who was in this galus? Mordechai was in this galus. Who else was in this galus? Yirmiyahu was not in this galus. Yechezkel was in this galus. Who else was in this galus? Okay, Daniel was in this galus. Okay? Yeah, Daniel was in this galus. So all of the higher echelon, including the king, the queen, everyone, and the Charesh v'Amazger, Chazal, tell us, those were the Talmidei Chachamim. Those, the blacksmiths and the irons of the Amala Shel Torah. Okay, but Bepashtus, what it means, is Nebuchadnezzar, whatever. Meaning, like, it. I think what Chazal is saying is not... Okay. Okay, so I'll tell you what the pshat of the pasuk says, and then I'll say what I think Chazal is suggesting. The pshat of the pasuk means is that why do you take the blacksmiths away?
No weapon.
So that you destroy the weapons. That's what we saw in Sefer Shoftim. Yeah. We saw that in Sefer Shoftim, right? So that's by the plishtim, exactly. Right, Shimshon didn't have any weapons. He was doing the thing with he was smashing the kernels with his hand. So they didn't have any weapons. So the Charesh v'Amazger were the weapon creators. He got rid of all those people. Now Chazal are telling us that really, who are the real weapon creators? That's really Chazal, the weapon of Torah. Okay, so I think it's more of a message then, because like, what would Nebuchadnezzar want with all of these like Talmidei Chachamim outside of obviously, right, Daniel and the children, right? But he was a child, he's a baby, right? He was a very young boy. Either way, it could be that all of that is true, but the top of the echelon, everyone who meant something left in this galus. So who's left in Yerushalayim? Who's left in this Yerushalayim? This kol anshei achayil shivas alafim v'charesh v'amazger elef hakol kiburim osei milchama v'viam melech bavel gola bavela. So this is the beginning of galus bavel. This is the real beginning of galus bavel. Yehoyakim, who was taken to galus bavel, that wasn't real. That was just him. This is the national galus. This is a national galus because the only people that are alive still are the people of Yerushalayim. Now 20,000 people from Yerushalayim are taken out. That might not sound like a lot of people. It's a lot of people, right? What happens? Vayamlech melech bavel es matanya dodo tachtav vayesev es shemot tzidkio. Just like we saw about Paro. What did Paro do when he took over Yerushalayim, when he came over to Yerushalayim? He took and he replaced the king, right? So who does he take? He takes Yoyachin, he takes him down to Bavel, and he appoints Tzidkiyahu. Okay, his real name, his Jewish name is Matanya. Okay, but Tzidkiyahu. Okay, now why does he put Tzidkiyahu? Why does he change his name to Tzidkiyahu, guys? Because that's how you assert power. Now this is the Pella. The Pella, chavre, is that Nebuchadnezzar doesn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash right away. He doesn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, he goes in there, he takes all the gold, takes all the silver, takes everything, doesn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And he doesn't care to. And he appoints a king. That means that what? That he's not done with Yerushalayim. And that also shows us, chavre, that it's possible that the Churban Beis HaMikdash never had to happen. Meaning all of what the Nevi'im said was the Churban of Yerushalayim, but maybe the Beis HaMikdash never had to be destroyed. Maybe it didn't have to. Because if he wanted to, he would have destroyed it right then. Maybe there was still a chance.
It's more pain on Klal Yisrael, right? If it was destroyed right away, they could just go rebuild it. But here, that he's taking it over and like appointing a new king, they're living more in the time.
Oh, they're like living in this matzah. Okay, if I hear that. Okay, so let's go weiter. Pasuk Yudches, yeah. Yeah, what's your question? Yeah. Yeah, because it was clear that they rebelled at some point.
Yo, didn't he go back on it? Like, Yehoiakim did.
Yeah.
And they took him away. Then Yehoiakim came around.
Yehoiakim becomes king. And Kanira, once again, these things were like fluid. Yehoiakim was only king for 3 months. So why did Nebuchadnezzar feel like he needed to do this? He felt like it. Kanira wasn't enough. They continued to bug the, you know, like meaning they weren't giving up. I guess Nebuchadnezzar felt that he needed to come himself to important work to people. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Were they a vassal state to Mitzrayim or to Babel?
At this point, to Babel.
Before they were Mitzrayim.
This was fluid, meaning like as soon as Babel won the war in Karkamish, yeah. Then Babel takes over. Okay. So this is what is called the Galus of the Charesh Vamazger. This was really the main Iker beginning of the Galus. This is, like I said, Yechezkel and Daniel and many others. Let's just take a look. Ben Estrim Vachas Shana Tzidkiyahu B'Malcho V'Achad Esre Shana Malach B'Yushalayim V'Shem Imo Chamutal Bas Yirmiyahu Milivna V'Yasar Rabbi Inei Adonai Kechol Asher Asa Yoyakim. So Tzidkiyahu was also not such a big tzaddik. Kiel Afa Adonai Hesav Yerushalayim B'Yudad Hashlicho Osam Me'Alpanav. Alright, because this was still, this punishment was going to happen. This the enactment of this punishment was going to happen. Now, we're going to pick this up in Meretz Hashem on Sunday, but just the parak ends off, Vayimrod Tzidkiyahu B'Melech Bavel. There's something which pushes Tzidkiyahu to rebel against Bavel. And we're going to have to ask ourselves what happened historically, and what happened, like, was Yirmiyahu was here. Yirmiyahu had been telling all of the sons of Yoshiyahu to be Nichna to Bavel, but Tzidkiyahu was really the Makkah of Patish. For some reason, he rebels, and then Nebuchadnezzar comes, and then we know what happens. It's sort of funny, like we're making like a siyum. It's like a happy thing, like when we finish on like such a little point. But, all right, go ahead. All right.